you know. We hope they'll grow up and move on and do better things. Matthew 22 this morning. Matthew 22. We're kind of, as we've kind of rejoined our studies in Matthew, we're kind of coming to the close of a time in Jesus' life where we're reading where he's being constantly questioned. He's being constantly criticized and doubted, and they're trying to trap him in his words, and they're trying to tempt him and for him to say some things that, that he shouldn't say. And what we'll see next week when we come is that he kind of finally has enough of it. And next chapter, he unloads on the Pharisees and the religious crowd and talks about their hypocrisy. But today, he kind of puts to end some more questions. And so look with me in verse number 41 of Matthew chapter 22. It said, "And while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, 'What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?' They said unto him, 'The son of David.' And he said unto them, 'How then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?' And no man was able to answer him a word, neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions." Let's pray together today. Father, we bow before you today. And God, I thank you for each one that's come this way this morning as we've gathered. And Lord, just want to worship you. And God, we want to make much of your name today and lift high the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. And God, I don't know how it is with everyone that's here. I don't know the struggles and the things that they're going through. But God, I pray that you would speak to us today through your word and through the Spirit of God. And God, just stir in us to accomplish your will. And God, I know you have a will for all of us. And I pray that you'd help us each to focus on what you'd have us to be doing. God, we love you today. We thank you for answering our prayers and for being there for us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Jesus asked the Pharisees a question that's a good question for us today as we've come and met. And he said this, he said, "What think ye of Christ?" Now, when he's asking them a question, now you got to understand their mindset of being Jews and not believing that Jesus was the Messiah. You know, somebody asked me the other day, they said, "So the Jews don't believe in the New Testament?" And I said, "They don't. You know, they don't believe any of the New Testament is valid. I mean, they believe Jesus came, but they don't think that he is who he said he was." You know, I had a Jewish friend one time when I was in the military, and me and him talking one day, and he said, "The New Testament is the sequel, and it's just not as good as the original thing." You know, and that's their mindset. And so when they say, "What do you think of Christ?" he's asking them, what do they think of the Messiah, the Savior that's going to come? Who do they think he would really be? And for us today, I would ask you the question, what do you think about Christ? What do you think about Jesus Christ? Who is he to you? And not only who is he to you, but what are your ideas of him? What are your thoughts of him? And let me tell you something that I know is that everybody came in here today, and I don't care where you're at or who you are, people today have some ideas of who Jesus is. And one thing we're going to see when we wind this thing down today is that no matter what you think about him, there's still a reality to who he is. Because there are a lot of people who have some ideas about Christ that are just not accurate. They're just not right. You know, you might be here today, and I would confess to you today that when I was growing up, I kind of had this idea about God that he was very harsh. That's kind of how my idea was. That God was, in my mind, you know, I'm talking about as a little kid, I thought he was the old man in the sky with a lightning bolt ready to strike us down when we did wrong. That was my idea of him. And there may be some of you in here today who think that still today. You still have that idea of God sitting up in heaven waiting to just rain down fire and brimstone upon you, waiting to bring out judgment and suffering and pain and sorrow in your life because you just have not lived up to the expectations that He has for you. You know, I know some people think that God is so harsh because they'll say, well, I can't believe that He made a place called hell, and I can't believe that He sends folks to hell. And there have been people who say stuff like this, if there's a God, or how could God let bad things happen to good people? Have y'all ever heard that? Man, how can people get sick and suffer, and how can little children suffer, and all those things? And so you may have an idea and a thought today that God is harsh. You know, some might go the other way and think that God is just so loving that no matter what you do, it's okay, right? So you got these people on one hand who think God is harsh and He's ready to just judge you and He's unreasonable and He's going to bring pain into your life. Well, then there's these other folks that just think that God doesn't care what you do. You see, He loves me so much that no matter what I do, it's going to be okay. And can I tell you, that is also a false idea. And I hope, you know, that line of thinking has went off into our society. And I want you to know that love doesn't mean that we're going to let people do whatever they want to do. Sometimes they think that about your children. We're talking about children earlier, and just because we don't let them eat, you know, a bowl of M&Ms every night for supper doesn't mean we don't love them, right? Just because we say no, and yet some of y'all have raised children, they think when you say no, you don't love me, right? I can't believe you told me no. By the way, I tell them at our house, no is a complete sentence. It requires no more discussion. It requires no more talk. No is it, right? But man, daddy's mean, and they don't love us because they told us no. And so because of that line of thinking, you think God's not like that. He just give you whatever you want. And you can do whatever you want, and that'd be fine. This is also not who God is. This is also not who Jesus is. Just to say, well, whatever. You know, some people have told me this, and can I say this? This doesn't work anywhere, right? You can't say, that's just the way I am. Okay? That doesn't work in anything. Okay? I know some people that are very rude and ugly. You know what they'll say? That's just the way I am. That doesn't work. If I come and steal something from Brother David's house, and he said, Brother David, why'd you steal that? I said, that's just the way I am. I don't think he said, oh, okay. Well, that's okay then. No big deal. That's just the way he is, you know. If I come and just slap you in the face, say, what did you do? That's just the way I am. That's what I want to do. Well, no, that doesn't work, right? And by the way, it doesn't work with God either. He doesn't just say, oh, that's just the way you are. No big deal. We love you anyway, and just keep staying the way you are. No, He loves us and He wants the best for us. He wants us to be the best version of us that we can be. And the best version of us that we can be is to be like Him and to be Christ-like. So, again, this idea that God loves you however you are and you can do whatever you want to do is also a false idea that people have about God. What think ye of Christ? What do you think of Him? Some people think that, and I used to think this again, that God is like unreachable. He's distant. Why would He want to have anything to do with me? And how could I have anything to do with Him? Because He's God and I'm me, and I just can't do it. I'd see other people that I think were walking with God, and I think I couldn't do what they would do, and all these things, and God is far away, and I can't know Him, and I can't have a relationship with Him. That's not who God is as well. Let me tell you something about God, though. He's not going to force Himself on you, but He is reachable, and we can know Him, and we can have a relationship with Him. Some people think of God as not really involved, unconcerned. You know, there's some people that think that God did create everything and then just walked away. That's how they kind of explain it. You know, everybody's got to try to explain something, and they say, well, you know, that's kind of one way they want to explain evolution. Well, God started it all, and then He just walked away, and it's all evolved from there. And God's created me, and He's there, but He's not really concerned about me, and He's not really involved in my life, and I can do all these things. Some people see God as a friend, some as a father. I think we'd all agree that we know some folks that think that Jesus is their get-out-of-hell free card. You know, unfortunately, we live, fortunately, we live in a very evangelized place. But the problem with being very evangelized is sometimes God loses to us, maybe, that awe and wonder of what He's supposed to be. It becomes very casual with who He is. You know, and again, we got missionaries that are coming here that are going to the Congo in March. So I don't want to complain too much in front of them. But, you know, witnessing down here can be a little hard when everybody knows the story and everybody understands it. And, you know, it's tough when you share the gospel with somebody and they say something like, I went to 10 Bible schools a year when I was a kid, and I got saved multiple times. You know, you got to deal with that and try to get them to understand. But the reality is that people have ideas about who God is. Today you might say He's your strength, He's your crutch, He's your purpose, He's your life. I don't know what it is. But here's the thing about it today. Your ideas don't change who He really is. You can think whatever you want to. Have you ever had anybody say, well, that's not my God? Don't you like that? I'm like, well, you can't just define Him as your God that you've made, and my God wouldn't do something like that. You ever heard that? My God wouldn't ask me to do such a thing. Well, here's my problem with that. Like, where's your evidence for that? What's backing up your claims of your God won't say this or do this or demand this of you? Because if your claims are just, that's just what you believe, that's not good enough. Okay? If I go out here today and say, climb up on the roof and say, I believe that I can fly off this roof, those claims are not good enough. Because when I jump off, guess what I'm going to find out? That I cannot fly off the roof, okay? And just because you say, well, I believe this, that's not good enough. That's not good enough, because your belief must be backed up with some evidences and some proofs, and you got to be a source for what you believe, why you believe it. That's what Jesus asked these folks. They said, well, who do you believe Christ is? Whose son is He? They said, well, He's David's son. He said, oh, really? Let me ask you a question. And he quotes the 101st Psalm. He said, David said in the Spirit that he called Him Lord, and he said that He was going to make his enemies His footstool. And he said, I don't know how that really computes. I don't know how that makes sense. If David said that the Messiah was his Lord and He was above him and He was going to be his king, how does this work for y'all? And their minds begin to say, wait a minute, that doesn't really work. I don't know. And they couldn't answer Him a question. You know, I was talking to somebody one time, and what I'm getting to today is here's what you got to ask yourself. What's the Bible say? What's the Bible say? You know why the Bible is our evidence today? What you hold in your hands today is a is a miracle. That's what you're holding in your hands today. This book right here, and by the way, I hate to say it like this, but you say, well, who wrote the Bible, God or Moses? And the answer is yes, right? God and Moses wrote it. Well, who wrote the Bible, God or Paul? Well, yes. God used them folks to write it. You know, you could say earlier, who's playing, you know, who's making that sound? Is it the piano or is it Emily making that sound? Well, it's yes. The piano's making the sound, but Emily's hitting the keys. And they were writing the words down, but God was giving them what to say. And here's the thing about this book. Can y'all imagine anything's been attacked more than this book? I mean, you think the devil wants the book still around? But here we are, 2,000 years later, and we've got a copy of it. It took some 1,500 years to write. Over 40 different human authors was used to write it, and they tell in one story from beginning to end. It's pretty overwhelming evidence. No contradictions, no errors. You say, well, I think there might be an error in there. I think there's a few contradictions. Well, if you could prove them, I can promise you they'd have been proved and we'd have done away with the book long ago. But we've got the Bible. And so you got to ask yourself, what does the Bible say? You know, I remember I was talking to somebody one time, and these folks don't believe in the Trinity. They just believe in just Jesus. And I love these people, but they're like the Jews. They're confused on what the Scripture says. And I asked this friend of mine, I said, well, how was church Sunday? You know, I'm just making small talk with him. And he said, man, it was great. He said, we had three people got the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, that's good. I said, who is the Holy Ghost? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, y'all are oneness people. You only believe in Jesus. You don't believe in a Trinity. So who is the Holy Ghost? And you could tell, like the panic on his face to say, man, I hadn't thought about this like this, you know. He said, well, I guess he's Jesus. I said, well, just call him Jesus then. I said, because you're confusing me when you say he's the Holy Ghost. And I said, I believe more in the Holy Ghost than y'all do. Y'all talk about him all the time, but you don't even know what you're talking about. The deal is this, what does the Bible say? I said, if you don't believe in the Trinity, how can Jesus get baptized? And there's a voice from heaven that says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and the Holy Spirit descend upon him like a dove. How did that work? I don't really know, and I want to avoid it, right? Don't avoid truths that just don't line up with your thinking. Okay? Here's the thing about me, and I hope it all be like this. I want to know the truth whether it lines up with how I think or not. And I want to know the truth, whether it's what I've been told my whole life or not. I want to know what the truth is. And we find the truth in this book up here that I hold in my hand and that is sitting in your laps. And don't be like, look, man, I run across people all the time. And again, we're talking about who God is and who you think God is. And I deal with people all the time who I say, just live in delusion land. They have believed things that are not true. They believe things that they have no evidence for. They believe things that they have no facts to back up, but they just believe them. And here's the thing. The Bible said this, and such were some of you. Have you ever been that person? I believed things that just wasn't true. I believed things that I thought, hey, man, this is the reality, but it just wasn't true. And we don't want to be that person. We don't want to be that person who just lives in a delusion and lives under some kind of assumption with no evidences to back it up. And so with that being said, and he said, well, what do you think of Christ and how can these things be? Let's look at a couple things real quick that Jesus is. And then we got to ask ourselves a question. That's what Jesus did. He said, if that's who you say, then what about this? It doesn't line up. And so here's who Jesus is according to the Scriptures. He is the Lord of all. He is the Lord of all. The Bible says that He is the King of kings and He's the Lord of lords. And I say this, if you believe that today, because that's what the Bible says, and I think most of us here today would have no problem saying that, to say Jesus Christ is King of kings and He's Lord of lords, and He came to be the Savior of your life and to be King of your life, right? Then the question we've got to ask is, why don't we see him working in your life? Because I got a problem if we say that God, as big as he is, has come in and he lives in my heart and he doesn't change me in any way. Now, let me tell you what we're not looking for here today, so you aren't misunderstood. We're not looking for perfection. Because if perfection is the standard for us, then everybody just go on home, right? Let's just wave the white flag and say we can't do it. That's not the standard. But here is what we are looking for. We are looking for progress and growth. That should be happening in all of our lives. I should be progressing. I should be looking more and more like Jesus. We are going to continue to be conformed to an image of Christ. Not perfect. We'll still make mistakes. We're still going to come short. We're still going to have all those things. But I ask you this question today. If he is the Lord and King of your life, are you seeing any progress? Are you seeing any growth in your life? If not, then I have to question if he's Lord at all, right? You see, here's the thing about Jesus, and this is where we have to especially, and I think it is changing around in some ways, but down here in the South, we definitely have to get away from cultural Christianity where everybody was just raised in church and we just kind of are associated with Jesus, but he's not Lord. He did not come to take part of your life. He came to take over your life. That's what he came to do. He did not come. Did you hear me? He did not come to take part of your life. He came to take over your life. He's king. We are no longer king. The devil is not the king. Jesus is king and he's Lord. And so if he takes over, he's going to mold me and make me. And if today you're sitting here and you're not seeing some progress, you're not seeing some growth, you got to ask yourself, well, what's going on? It should make us question. That's what Jesus made these people do. He said, who is Christ? They said, the Son of David. He said, well, why is this then? They said, oh, I don't know. I need to think about that. I ask you that today. Who is Christ? Is he Lord? Yes, he is. Well, then why don't we see progress and growth? Oh, wait. I need to question some things. I need to see. Again, perfection is not the goal. But striving is the goal. You see, he said this. The Bible said this. The Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark. The prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we're doing. I'm pressing. The mark is Jesus. You know what I'm doing? I'm pressing toward it. I want to look more like him. I want to think more like he thinks. I want to sound more like he sounds. I want to love like he loves. I want to forgive like he forgives. I want to serve like he served. And we're striving for that. And if you're here today striving for that, then God be the glory. That's what we need to be doing. You know, another thing is, God is relational. Tonight, I think I'm going to preach. I've been kind of struggling with if I was going to preach. I thought about preaching it this morning, but you know, this week is Sanctity of Life week. And God said this to one of the prophets in the Old Testament. He said, before I formed thee in thy mother's womb, I knew thee. He knows you today. Before he formed you in your mother's womb, he knew who you were. He knew that he'd create you just as he did. He made us uniquely. It's so funny how he's made us and how we sound different, look different, and like different things. But here's the thing. He knows you, and he wants you to know him. And he wants to have a relationship with you. That's what this thing's about. And I always say this. If I fail to get folks to see that they're supposed to have a relationship with Jesus, then we failed altogether. Because that's what it's about. It's about a daily relationship, a daily walk with Christ. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, that's where we have to shift our thinking. Some of you may need to shift your thinking. I don't read the Bible every day to check it off to say I read it. I understand it's a spiritual discipline, but that's not why I read it. Do you know why I read the Bible every day? So God can speak to me every day. Someone said this, I really love it, because I'm a big Bible guy, okay? It says that we should worship God in spirit and truth, and to be honest, I probably err a whole lot more to truth than I do spirit. I think there needs to be a mesh, but I just err to the truth side. And it said this, if you want to hear God speak, then just read your Bible out loud, right? And I believe that. That's God's Word. What we're reading today is God's Word. It says if it doesn't say it in the Bible, then God didn't say it. I believe that too. I mean, so I want to hear God speak to me every day, and the way He speaks to me every day is through His Word. And I understand He speaks through other means, but I want you to know that those other means are so in the minority. He speaks primarily through this book. And so if you say, well, God isn't speaking to me, my next question is going to be, are you reading His Word? And there's a lot of people who God doesn't speak to because they never pick up the Word. And let me tell you this, if you're a child of God, I challenge you to do this. And I have so much faith in it. If you'll pick up the Bible and begin to read it, He'll speak to you. There is no doubt in my mind that if you'll pick up God's Word and begin to read it, that He will speak to you. Now, I'm like everybody else. Sometimes I read the Bible and say, you know, it ain't like a lightning bolt strikes me every time I read it. It's not like I have some sort of vision or some sort of big to do. And sometimes I'm like you. I'm no different than you. I read the Bible sometimes and say this, what did I just read? I don't even remember, right? I mean, I'm no different. But I can tell you this, consistency matters, right? It would be like if you, and how many of us have done this? It's January. Gyms love January. Everybody signs up to go to the gym. And man, you go to the gym for 2 days and you look in the mirror and say, this isn't working. I mean, my goodness. What was the point of this? And people do the same thing with the Bible. They read the Bible 2 days and say, this isn't working. I thought, man, it's a consistency deal. It's a day in, day out deal that you'll see the fruit of it over time, and He'll speak to you. The other thing is we speak to God through prayer. Now, how much time do we spend in prayer? You have not because you ask not. And that relationship with God speaking to us and us speaking to Him, that needs to be an everyday deal. And it needs to be really a throughout the day deal. You know, what I like to do is read my Bible and I'll catch a word or a phrase or a thought or a theme, and I just let it stay on my mind throughout the day. And God will bring it back to my remembrance, and He'll bring those things to me and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. And then you can pray to Him throughout the day. It's okay to just say, God, I need Your help. And to pray to Him. And so, if God is relational and His Word said that He is, do you have a relationship with Him? Right? If that's what you say, and well, what about the relationship? And so ask yourself, am I having a relationship with God? And let me tell you something before you get, I don't want you to get too discouraged today. There's no one in here today who said their relationship with God couldn't be better. Right? No one. Everyone could read the Bible a little more. Everyone could pray more. Again, perfection is not the goal. The goal is progress. And I would even say this too. I think some people, and I'm not saying there's many of them, but some people need to do a lot less studying of the Bible and a lot more applying the Bible. Right? There's some people that study the Bible. And then don't apply it. And so what we're supposed to do is read the Word. God speaks to us. Then we go live it. You go live it. It's good if you know the Greek and Hebrew word for forgiveness. That's great. Do you forgive? Is the question. And you know the Great Commission front and back. Good. Do you do it? So we need to apply it. And then I would say that would be the last thing today. Jesus is Lord. It's what God's Word said He is. and he's relational. And if you're saying here that Jesus is your Lord, then he should have a relationship with you. And let me tell you the last thing it says Jesus has done for us in just this sermon. He has sent us on mission. You know, we put a reading calendar out. We read a chapter a day together. And in Sunday school, we talk about it. And Mark 16, we read the Great Commission. And he told us to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel and to baptize those that believed and to go on and carry the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. You are on mission for Jesus. I got news for you today. Mission conference coming up. I might be breaking news to you today, but you're a missionary. You say, well, I didn't sign up for that. Oh, yeah, you did. You sure did. If you are a follower of Christ, you're a missionary. Let me tell you who you ought to be a missionary to. You ain't got to go to the Congo, so nobody get alarmed, all right? We're not going to send you there. But you do need to go to your neighbor. And you do need to go to your coworker. And you do need to go to the friend. And you might need to go to that person who you stop at that same gas station every day and they know you by name and they know what you're going to buy. Maybe you need to go to them and just say, hey, I'd like to invite you to church, or look for opportunities to have gospel conversations with them, and just to love them and invest in them. And so if he's Lord and he's the Lord of your life and you're having a relationship with him, and he sent you on mission, you know what we ought to be? We ought to be on mission. Who's the last person you had a gospel conversation with? That's something to think about. Who's the last one you've invited to church? We try to make things easy for us. We have the invite cards, and we just challenge you to invite your one person that you know that is unchurched and say, I'm going to invite them to church. Who is that person? The Bible says this, that we should be ready to give an answer to anybody who asks about the hope that lies within us. Here's the key there. They ought to be able to see a hope that's within us that leads them to ask us about it. And so live it out. Live it out before them. And after all this is said today, here's the thing. You might still be stuck on the first question. Who do I think Jesus is? You might say, Brother Derek, I don't trust him too much. I don't want to take his word for it. That's fine. Here's what I challenge you to do. Pick up this book. You say, I'm going to find out who he is for myself. That's the best thing you could ever do anyway. Go read, just start in the book of John. Say, I want to find out who Jesus is. And find out who he is for yourself. But it's got to be based on his word. And so when you do that, I think we'll see transformation take place in our life. Let him be Lord. Have a relationship with him. Get on mission for him. And let's get busy living for the glory of God. Amen. Why don't you stand with us today?